last week we dealt with one word. One word. By the way, you'll see that on the sheet that you have in front of you, number two has two Mishnayot in this perek. The first one is the Mishnah of Akavya ben Mahalalel, which is Mishnah 1 in chapter 3. And right after it, I've put in there the Mishnah that we are dealing with, which is Mishnah 18. And that's the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. And the one we were dealing with is, Hu Haya Omer. He used to say, Chaviv Adam, beloved is man, Shenivra B'Tselem, he was created in the image. The Shir last week dealt with only one idea. What is the definition of man created in the image of God? And I think we said a lot of very fascinating things during the course of the week, of the Shir, basically describing that the Tselem Elokim, the image of God in which man is created, does not speak about his physical contours, countenance, or makeup. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. What it talks is about the uniqueness of the neshama of a human being, the neshama which comes from on high. And we described all of the various aspects, or many of the various aspects of that neshama. A human being yearns and longs for unity. Ultimately, we look forward to a time when the whole world will be joined together. V'hoi Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz, God will be king over the whole world, and the whole world will be united under God. We talked about the fact that the human being is the only creature on the face of this earth that is able to move beyond the physical and has the power of abstract thought. We talked about the idea that man is able to appreciate the pristine beauty of nature, that man has an intellect. Man has intellect. We talked about the idea that man has an understanding, an innate understanding of the difference between good and evil, and that he knows that one should pursue good and destroy evil. We also described the human being as being one who desires eternity because he has within himself the spark of eternity. There's an eternal neshama, and therefore we want to leave something after us. Man lives in three time frames, past, present, and future. The animal only lives within the present. There is no memory and there is no anticipation of the future. There happens to be one Rambam, I believe, in which I'll just read the words of the Rambam. You don't have it. The Rambam says, Nefesh kol basov. The Rambam describes what the Tselem Elokim is, the image of God in which man is created. Nefesh kol basov hi tzurato shenatan lo hakel. The soul of every human being is the form that was given to it by God. The great intellect, the mind that man has. That's the tzuras Adam. When he talks about the form of the human being, the Rama wants to make clear, he's not talking about the physical form. He's talking about the intellectual form of a human being. And it's about that intellect that the Torah says, Nase Odom Bitsalmenu Kidmutenu, we are going to make a man in our form and in our shape. He will have a form that is able to comprehend things that go beyond the physical. The Rambam is describing the idea of abstract thought. And he says, when we're talking about tzura, the form of a human being, we're not talking about that which can be seen by the eyes. We're not talking about the physical form of the human being. We're not talking about all of those aspects of the human being by which he lives.
We're talking about that by which he creates. That's also one of the great powers of a human being. He is one who initiates, he plans, he builds, he creates, just like God. And of course, ultimately, the peak of it all is going to be expressed in the next Mishnah, where Rabbi Akiva is going to talk about the idea that man has free will. Bechira chofshes. There stands the peak of the greatness of a human being. I began to allude to something toward the end of the shiur that will take on more meaning today and even more next week. By virtue of the fact that there are so many areas in which man, in a sense, is godlike, it is therefore that the Rambam says it, the Rav used to speak about it often, Rav Soloveitchik, that the seminal mitzvah in Torah, the greatest of all the mitzvahs in Torah, if it is possible to say about one mitzvah that it is greater than all the others, is the mitzvah of v'halachta bidrachav. It says, you shall go in the ways of God, to which the Gemara says, but God is eish ochla, he is a consuming fire. How is it possible for human being to walk in the path of God? So there the Gemara gives all sorts of examples. What it means is that we have to follow the conduct that is manifested to us by God. He feeds the hungry. He clothes the naked. He visits the sick. He visits the he's menachem avelim. He consoles the mourners. Kover es hamesim. He buries the dead. These are all the aspects of divinity that the human being is capable of walking in the footsteps of God, because he has that neshama, that tzelem elokim he has. So here the Rambam enunciates it very clearly. We will talk yet about the idea of man being created in the tzelem elokim, and therefore, there is the mitzvah of halachta bedrachov, going in his way. There's even a very beautiful Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on a very famous pasuk, a pasuk we all know, Zekeli va'anvehu elokei avi va'aromimeno. This is my God, and I will beautify him, the God of my father, and I will raise and exalt him. Everybody knows that pasuk. There it is in Oz Yashir. This is what the Ros Hashif Chalayam, a maid servant at the sea, was able to point and say, this is my God. So the Gemara learns from that pasuk, Zekeli, this is my God, va'anvehu, and I will beautify him. So the Gemara says that you should make a sukkah, no, a beautiful sukkah, a beautiful sefer Torah, beautiful tzitzis, beautiful tefillin. A mitzvah should be performed with hidur, with beauty. There is a second opinion in the Gemara. Abba Shaul says, Zekeli v'anvehu, this is my God. He reads the word anvehu as a contraction of two words, ani v'hu, I and he. Anvei hu, I and he. I should be like him, capital H. I should be like him. Just as he is merciful, I should be merciful. Just as he is compassionate, I should be compassionate. I had once asked, according to Abba Shaul, where does he know that there's a halacha that a mitzvah should be performed with beauty? Doesn't he hold that you should have a beautiful sukkah, a beautiful Sefer Torah, beautiful tzitzis, beautiful tefillin? He uses this pasuk to say, Zekeli v'anvehu, ani v'hu, I should be like him. I once explained the following, that Abba Shaul does not disagree with the idea that a mitzvah has to be beautiful. Doesn't disagree at all. But he is adding an extremely, extremely important dimension to the performance of every mitzvah. What Abba Shaul is saying is, in the performance of a mitzvah, there are two components. There is the object of the mitzvah, the sukkah, the Sefer Torah, the tefillin, the tzitzis, and then there is the subject, the human being who's performing the mitzvah. Abba Shaul says to perform a mitzvah in a truly beautiful manner, you know what you need? You need that both the object and the subject of the mitzvah should be beautiful. Not only a beautiful pair of tefillin, but a beautiful human being who's putting on tefillin. That's why he says, Zekeli van Vehu, if I want to truly perform a mitzvah properly, I have to realize that I have to make of myself a nivahu. I'm created in his image. I have the ability and the great potential of being like him. Like him. I always give the example of a fella comes into shul, sukkahs in the morning with an esrog and lulav. Boy, there was never an esrog and a lulav as beautiful as that. And absolutely, this is it. The ultimate beauty. Trouble is, the guy who comes in with it is a drug peddler. And it's a ganif. He runs casinos. Freignisht. Alle gitte Sachen. So now, take a look. Do you think anybody's getting depressed? Give a kick. Yankel de ganif. De god kicker. Kick for an answer. Take a look at what answer you get. No. The beauty of the mitzvah is when both the object of the mitzvah has innate beauty and the subject, the one who is performing the mitzvah, is a beautiful human being. That's what Abba Shaul says. Abba Shaul is saying that because man is created in the image of God. In the image of God. I saw somebody who says something fascinating, and that will fit in with what we've been saying. There is a power that a human being has. Not easy, but there is a power that a human being has that the animal world simply doesn't have. And that is to form and mold one's character and personality. Not only to do that, but more. Somebody who has a personality flaw is able to correct it. It may take a lot of work, but it is possible for a human being to correct a flaw in character. We can turn ourselves into better human beings. That's what Torah is all about. If there would be no such possibility, if there wouldn't be no such potential, then there's no point in our being created, B'Tselem Elokim, in the image of God. The whole point of it all is that we can indeed make of ourselves better human beings. Sometimes it seems to us like we can't, or no, the other guy can't. The other guy can't. They're just evil incarnate. I have a feeling that that's expressed in one of our tefillahs, where we call about under the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Yich Bishu Rachamecha Es Kascha Me'oleinu. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, let your mercy overcome your anger against us. What's that song that they sing about Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael was once Lifnai V'Lifnim, the holy Rabbi Yishmael. And it's a beautiful song. And he says that there he saw in the Kodesh HaKodashim, he saw the image of God. And you know what God asked of him? Pray for me that my mercy should be able to overcome my anger. You know, so to speak, Kivyachol, you know what we're saying? The Rabbeinu Shalom also wants to change his character and personality, that he should not be swept away, so to speak, with his anger, but that his mercy and his compassion should reign supreme.
there are, number one, is going to take us, I want to begin a little journey with number one that's going to take us into the rest of the Mishnah. What's the rest of the Mishnah? Let's read it down there. Number two. Who are your Omer? He used to say, that is Rabbi Akiva used to say, Chovev Adam Shinivra B'Tzelem, beloved is man who was created in the image of God. Chibar Yeseda No Dat Lo, even greater love, and we explained according to the Rambam, No Dat Lo, that God let him know that he is created in the image. Shenema, Ki B'Tzelem Elokim Asarat HaAdam, God made man in the image of God. The second part of the Mishnah, Chavivin Yisrael, Israel is beloved, Shenikru Bonim Alamakum, they are called sons to God. Chiba Yeted Anu Datlem, Shenikru Bonim Alamakum, an even greater degree of love is by virtue of the fact that God let them know that they are called God's sons. Shenema, Bonim Atem Lashem Alakechem, you are children, you are sons to God, your God. Then comes the third and last part of the Mishnah, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenitalhem Klei Chemda, beloved are Israel, that to them were given the object of great desire. What is Klei Chemda? Klei Chemda is Torah. Chibo Yisrael, no doubt lehem. An even greater degree of love was by virtue of the fact that God let them know, Shenitalhem Klei Chemda, that He gave them the most desirable object of all. Shenema, Ki Lekach Tov Natati Lachem, I gave you a good gift. Torosi, Al Tazofu, do not forsake my Torah. Alright? We've gone from Adam. From Adam we've gone to Yisrael. From Yisrael we've gone to Torah. It really represents, number one, the following. Adam obviously applies to all human beings on the face of this earth. All human beings are created in the image of God, and therefore all human beings are beloved by God. But there's another level, which is Chaviv and Yisroel, beloved of Israel, who are called God's children. And then there's an even higher level, that even amongst Israel, Bonim Lamakom, children, refers to all Jews. And not only that, what's extremely important about the idea that Jews are called God's children is, especially since one might ask the question, when God comes to the Jewish people in Parshat Yitro and He says to them, I'm going to give you Torah. So He says, you will be to me segula, a treasure from amongst all the nations. You are going to be mamlechet kohanim, a kingdom of priests, v'goy kadosh, and holy people. Why does Rabbi Akiva choose to use the term bonim? Bonim atem l'ashem l'keichem. You are children. Obviously, it's clear, because the one relationship that can never be changed or torn asunder is children. He's stuck with us, and we are stuck with him. As the Reb Meir says in the Gemara, ben kach u ben kach, regardless of whether we fulfill mitzvahs or we don't fulfill mitzvahs, we are bonim. Bonim means that there's an eternal relationship between God and the Jewish people. Nothing can change it. Somebody can have a wayward son, but a wayward son still remains a son. There's a third level in the Mishnah. The third level is the one that talks of not just a son, but a son who observes Torah and performs mitzvahs. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, I have here the Kuzri up at the top of the page. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzri. And maybe in order to fully explain what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is going to say, you see, because there may be people who feel, I don't think anybody here feels that way, but there may be people who will feel slightly uncomfortable with this Mishnah that seems to speak of the chosenness of the Jewish people, the unique relationship that exists between God and the Jewish people. There were times that many Jews
feel very uncomfortable about it.
I don't. I don't think any of you do. Oh, boy, are we chosen. For all the tzaras, we're chosen for everything. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, in the Sefer HaKuzri, the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi really describes, and where we're going to give a partial description, Adam, Chaviv Adam, Adam was created B'Tzelem Elokim. Adam was the perfect individual. He was Yitzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was created by God's hands. He had all of the potential. He had all of the greatness, all of the intellect, the perfect human being. The perfect human being. He had two children, Cain and Hevel. Cain killed Hevel. Do you know what was left of the potential of Adam? Nothing. Everything had to start all over again with a third child that he had 130 years later, Shait. Shait's children, generation to generation, went from bad to worse until ultimately God had to destroy all of mankind. Until we're left with Noach. Noach has three children, Shem, Cham, Yafet. Shem chooses to go in the ways of Noach. Cham and Yafet go off there into the sunset. To become 10 generations later, we have Avram. Avram has two brothers, Nachor and Chora. Nothing much came of them, except for a Lot, and what came out many, many generations later from a Lot, a Rut, who ultimately was a Imo Shel Malchus. After 20 generations that had disappeared from the face of this earth, one man alone, Avram, discovers God. God enters into a relationship with Avram. Avram has two children. By the way, during all of these 20 generations, anybody and everybody had the freedom to choose and discover God. Everybody had the intellect and all that was available, nature, everything was out there. Everybody had that opportunity. Avram Avinu took the great step. He wasn't a complete success either. He had two children. He had a Yishmael and a Yitzchak. And boy, do we know the extent to which he didn't succeed with Yishmael. Yitzchak has two children, Yaakov and Esav. Again, there we are all over again. Finally, one family, Yaakov and all of his children. All accept upon themselves, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's not so odd of God to choose the Jews. The fact is that it was the Jews who chose God. Remember something, as we're talking about this, just remember one thing. Rabbi Akiva's father was a non-Jew who converted to Judaism. Rabbi Akiva was born a Jew, but was for the first 40 years of his life an absolute ignoramus, until he became the great Rabbi Akiva. You know what it means? That in Rabbi Akiva's life itself, we have all three steps in the Mishnah. He understands that all men are created in the image of God and they can all choose God. His father did it. He was born as a Ben Lamakom, and only later in life does he become the one who receives Klei Chemda Torah. It's open to everybody. The fact is, before God gave Torah to the Jewish people, we know the Medrash, the Gemara, that says that he offered Torah to all of the nations of the world, the famous Medrash. God went peddling with his Torah. He came to Esav, will you accept my Torah? Esav says, Esav asks the question, Makosuvbo, what's written in the Torah? And God tells him, it says, Lo tirzach, thou shalt not kill. So Esav says, listen, God, you know, No, thank you. You know, it says, thou shalt not kill. You know, that's a little difficult for us. He comes to Yishmael, and Yishmael asks the same question. Makosabor, give us a sample. Give us some kind of an example of what it says in your Torah. And God says, lo tignav, you shall not steal. Go elsewhere. And so the Medrash says that God peddled Torah throughout the world. And when he came to the Jewish people and he offered them Torah, they all said, Nasa v'nishma, we will do and we'll hear. I've always said that this is the that's later, and that there's a lot completely different explanation. Why did God keep the mountain over them? That was after they had already accepted. That we'll say for another time. The important thing is, I always say that that medrash was very fascinating. They always accuse Jews for asking a Jew a question, so he asks another question. What do you want to know? Yeah, all right. Which leaves, of course, with the impression that a guy, when you ask him a question, he gives an answer. For the most important question in history, God asks the nations of the world, will you accept my Torah? Do you know how they answer? With a question. And what does it say in Torah? And when he comes to the Jewish people, I don't want to say that they answered like goyim, they answered like Jews, and they said, Nasa v'nishma, we will do and we'll hear. What that medrash, that gemara means to say is the following. Everybody at any moment in time had the opportunity to choose to be the Tzelem Elohim with Torah, and they have it throughout all of time. There's nothing racist about the fact that we were given Torah. We believe with absolutely perfect faith that at Sinai we received Torah. There's nothing racist about it. It's not that we are supreme, superior beings. What we have is open to everybody in the world. And Rabbi Akiva stands as the great model of precisely what he's saying in this Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzri, you better read, you know, the English part. I have the Hebrew there, and then I have below it. You understand, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says. And by the way, the description, in part, the description that I gave you of the generations going from one to the other, from Adam to Noah to Avram to Yitzhak to Yaakov, finally to Torah being given at Sinai, this is basically a description that comes from the Kuzri, Rav Yehuda Halevi. Now he says the following, you understand, that the elements were created so that a hierarchy of creations would emerge from them. The elements by which the world was created. And he describes the five levels in nature, in the hierarchy of nature. First, inanimate objects. Inanimate objects, objects without life. Earth, stones, rocks, then plants. The next level in creation, tzomeach, that which grows, it has life in it. Above tzomeach comes chai, living creatures, the animal kingdom, the whole animal kingdom. Then man, Adam, fourth level. And then the elite man, Israel. Not four levels, five levels. Domain, silent, inanimate object. Tzomeach, that which grows. Chai, that which lives. Medaber is the term that's used to describe man, because medaber means he has the intelligence to speak. And above it comes Yisrael. So now I saw this in an article of Musa Shmuel from Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz that I saw 50 years ago. 50 years ago. I was looking yesterday, and Rav Lau wrote a sefer on Pirkei Avos, and I see he brings a similar idea in the name of Rabbi Yeruchim, the great Mira Mashgiach. I'll tell you how I remember it. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz makes very, very fascinating and true comment. He says, the advantage that every level in creation has over the level below it is not only its advantage, but it also is its greatest weakness. I will explain. What is the advantage that the plants, trees, what's the advantage that they have over inanimate objects, stones, earth? They live, they grow, they breathe, they breathe. Ah, what's going to happen if you are going to remove that ability from this higher level in creation? Cut down a tree. Cut off a flower. Ah, so now it doesn't have the advantage anymore. All right? So what's going to happen? Is it going to go down one level and become like the inanimate object? No, it's going to disappear completely. It'll disintegrate and nothing will come of it. The inanimate object, the rock, will remain a rock forever. The plant, the tree, anything that grows, its advantage is that it has life, it's able to grow, but the moment it loses its advantage, it falls below the level below it. Watch. The chai. What's the difference between the animal kingdom and the plant life? That it moves. It can go from one place to the next. The plant, the flower, the tree is planted here. Doesn't move. Oy, what will happen if the animal loses its ability to move? The plant can be here and draw all its nourishment and its sustenance. The animal that cannot move dies. So it doesn't mean that it goes down to the level of the Tzomayach. It goes below the level of the Tzomayach. The human being has intelligence. A human being with intelligence is capable to take care of himself. What happens to the human being who loses, God forbid, loses intelligence? Is not able to take care of himself anymore. The animal can always take care of itself. Here comes the main point. And I'm going to show you a Rashi, a fascinating Rashi. There's man, and the level above is Yisrael. Yisrael has Torah. Now, one can look at Yisrael as man plus Torah. Or, one can see Yisrael as a unique part of creation, meaning the following. If Yisrael is a human being plus Torah, so if we reject Torah, we remain good human beings. But what happens if Torah is an integral part of the neshama of Klal Yisrael? You know what happens when you reject Torah? You don't go down to the level of the rest of mankind. You fall below the level of the rest of mankind. And ultimately, the kind of evil that can be done then is worse than any other. I'll give you a Rashi. Rashi says the following. In Parshas Veschanan, Rashi says, Pasuk says, Ushmartem, you should watch this Torah. Ushmartem vasisem kihi chochmaschem ubinaschem. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the eyes of the nations of the world who will hear all of these laws and they will say, Rak am chochom v'novoin hagoy hagodol azed. This great people is a people of wisdom and understanding. Rashi says, Bezos, if you keep Torah, techashu chachamim unevonim, you will be considered wise and understanding in the eyes of the nations of the world. Then the pasuk goes on to say, Rakishom elecha, be very, very careful. Rakishom elecha, ushmar nafshecha miyod, and watch yourself very carefully. Pen tishkach et hadvarim asher ro einechem, lest you forget that which your eyes saw at Sinai. Pen yosuru milvavcho, lest you remove it from your heart. Be careful not to do that. Rashi makes an unbelievable comment. Rashi says, be careful. Oz,
Kishalotishkechu, when you're not going to forget Torah. V'tasum elamitatam, and you will do it in truth. Techoshu chachamim unaveinim, the nations of the world are going to consider you wise and understanding. V'im ta'avetu otam, if you will corrupt Torah mitoch shikha because you forgot Torah, techoshvu shotim, they're going to consider you fools. What's Rashi talking about? If I don't have Torah, so I'm a guy like every guy. Does he consider himself a fool? Does he consider himself a shaita? No. You know Rashi is saying? The Jew without Torah falls beneath the level of the guy. Because Torah is not, we're not Adam plus Torah. Torah is an integral part of the Nishama of Klal Yisrael. I tell you, I don't know, I was just listening to some pseudo-intellectual that was being interviewed on the radio. I'm telling you, I don't know where they pick up these guys from. I don't know where they pick them up from. And this great intellectual who says that he lives in the world of philosophy, he doesn't understand what's going on over here. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand. Everybody doesn't understand. I don't know. I understand, you know. There are goyim that are killing our soldiers and killing our people, you know. So go and fight, you know. And that's not intellectual enough. And then in the middle of his profoundly stupid intellectual comment, he uses such a filthy word, you understand? Such a filthy word. I Pashit was taken aback. This is an intellectual. An American intellectual understands, I think, last time I remember from 25 years ago, you were able to speak like a mensch. These guys think that by saying a real dirty word in the middle of their great philosophical discourses. These guys, if you don't have Torah, I'm telling you, if you don't have Torah, you become mamish. Can Zayn an intellectual have an intellectual without Torah? No, he doesn't understand. We all understand what's going on. All right, I'm not going a step further now, you understand? Because I'm right now at a very dangerous point. This is what's happening over here. This is the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva is saying there are levels. The levels in creation are Adam, Yisrael, and then scholars of Torah. These are distinct levels. And as I say again, a Rabbi Akiva who knew it all, he experienced each one. His tata was a guy who converted. And he saw how one is able to move from one level to the next. By the way, it's not only them. Here in Pirkei Avos, we have Shmaya Vavtayon, who are from one of the first generations of Gedolei Yisrael, who transmitted Torah from one generation to the next. Shmaya Vavtayon were from the children of Gedim, from the families of Gedim. Rabbi Meir, who was one of the great students of Rabbi Akiva, also came out. You should know, I always say, this Gemara, I just want to read a little Gemara. Gemara says, Mi b'nei bonav shel Sancherev lomdu Torah b'rabim. The grandchildren of Sancherev. Sancherev was the king of Ashur, who sent the 10 tribes off into exile, nearly destroyed all of Yehuda, and then was crushed by the angel of death outside the gates of Yerushalayim. From his grandchildren, they taught Torah in public. And who are they? Shmaya Vavtayon. Mi b'nei bonav shel Haman, grandchildren of Haman, lamdu Torah b'bnei Brak, learned Torah in b'nei Brak. Nebuzaradan, who was the commander-in-chief of the forces of Nebuchadnezzar, Rav HaTabachim shel Nebuchadnezzar, the executioner of Nebuchadnezzar, he himself converted. And Mitzetz of Yopsar, Rabbi Meir came from the family of Nebuzaradan. Unklus was a Ger Tzedek. The Rebbeinu Shalom has such a finely honed sense of humor. You understand?
what could be the worst oinesh for a Haman? What will make him turn over in his grave every day 1,000 times? You understand? I mean, there's an amazing sense of humor, and you know, you find it in all sorts of places. If somebody would make a study of Balei Tshuva and Geirim right here in Eretz Yisrael, they come from who knows where, out of left field, that their grandparents, if they would know this, they would push it, go straight back into the grave. It's unbelievable. This is Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva experiencing it all was able to see the great advantage of Klal Yisrael with Torah. It means the following. If the Jewish people would be unique and there would be absolutely no possibility for anybody to join this exclusive club, there might be a problem. But it's open to everybody. It was open to everybody all along. From Adam to Cain and Hevel, to Noach, to Shem, Chom, Yafes, Avram, Nochor, Koron, Yitzchak, Yishmael, Yaakov, Esau. It was open to all. At all times. Number two. Here, I'm going to start something. I don't know if we'll... maybe we'll do it quickly or we'll just set the stage for next week. Number two, you have the first mission in this parak. I'll tell you, the way I'm learning, I'm afraid to say, the way I'm learning Pirkei Avos with you, we're all going to have to be Marech Yomim, you understand? We're going to need about another 120 years to go through it. Okay, we're doing about one word a week. I'm ready, I'm ready. I'll teach you, you keep living. Gesundheit. Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer. Akavya ben Mahalalel, this is the first Mishnah, it's a famous Mishnah. Nebuch, you hear it at every Levaya. Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer, Akavya ben Mahalalel says, Yistakel b'shlosha dvarim v'inato boli de'aveda, take a look at three things. Ponder. Think about three things. And you will not come to sin. Da, you should know me, I am boss of where you came from. And where are you going? Before whom are you going to stand up for judgment? May I in boss of where did you come from? You came from a drop of semen. And where are you going to? I mean, this is a very... encouraging, joyful Mishnah. And where are you all going to? You're going to offer a place of earth and worms. And before whom are you going to give? Stand up for judgment. Before the King of all kings, the Holy One, blessed be He. Pretty scary. Pretty scary. I had said this some years ago, a long time ago, and of all things, I found that the Abarbanel basically, Baruch Shekivanti Ledat HaAbarbanel, Don Yitzhak Abarbanel, may said the same thing, and then I will tell you how I elaborate on this. Akavya said three things. Man has to meditate upon where he comes from, garnished mit garnished. Where are you going to? That's even more garnished than garnished. And what's ultimately going to happen? You, little garnished than garnished, is going to stand up before the Almighty God Himself for justice. Pretty scary, pretty frightening. Akiva in this Mishnah also says three things. You know what the three things are? May I in Bosa, where did you come from? You know what you are? You are created in the image of God. Chaviv Adam. Man is beloved that he was created in the image of God. You know where you're going, Habibi? You're Bonim Lamakom. You're God's children. And ultimately, you receive Torah, which is going to give you the opportunity to stand up proudly before Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what it really means? Rabbi Akavya and Akiva, got it? Akavya and Akiva are presenting two different approaches, two absolutely, completely different approaches to the way man is supposed to look at himself and at life. Akavya's is, man, you're nothing. You're nothing. In the presence of God Almighty, you're nothing. You come from nothing. You are nothing.
And therefore, if you know how lowly you are in the presence of God Almighty, then you better get your act together. You dare not. You dare not, under any circumstances, sin before God. Who are you?
Rabbi Akiva is taking a completely different approach. Do you know what awesome potential you have? You're creating the world. These two approaches represent two approaches in the world of Musar. In the 19th century, there was a great man by the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is the one who established the system of Musar. The system of Musar was a system by which a Jew had to learn how to correct himself, how to make of himself a better human being. And there was a whole literature that was developed over many years. It became part of the yeshiva world, the Musa movement, a powerful, strong movement that still has its major sway over the yeshiva world. There were basically, amongst many approaches, there were two that were diametrically opposed. There was the Musar of the Alte von Slabodka, Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel. He was the Mashgiach of the yeshiva in Slabodka. Slabodka was really the yeshiva that created, most probably in the last three generations, before the war and right after the war, most of the Rosh Yeshiva in the world. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky learned in Slabodka. Rav Hudaman of Baltimore learned in Slabodka. Rosh Yeshiva all over, Slabodka. And the personality in Slabodka was Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. The Finkel family then also, his son Rav Lezer Yudel became Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. And Ad Hayom Hazeh, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, are the Finkel family, all coming from the Alta from Slabodka. I don't know, I woke up in the middle of the night and I started reading. There was one fascinating paragraph that I, chapter that I read about something that was really so unique and so exceptional. It's very difficult to even imagine that this happened in 1924. In 1924, the Alt of Slabodka did something that was so courageous. He took half of the yeshiva and came on Aliyah in 1924. And he didn't want the yeshiva to be in Yerushalayim, you know, which was always the cauldron of politics. So he took the yeshiva and established it in Hebron. And he said clearly at the time, he hoped that by being in Hebron, they would be able to rebuild the Jewish community in Hebron. They would be able to set up all sorts of satellite communities around Hebron. And that this would become a major Jewish center. Can you send a yeshiva that picked itself up nearly in its entirety? It left part of the yeshiva in Slabodka. The rest came here. And you just have to read of what came over the altar from Slabodka. He had another 3 years to live. He died in Yerushalayim 3 years later. But his whole being became overwhelmed with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. The very air of Eretz Yisrael he felt was so much different. I mean, this was a major, major step forward. If only it would have been followed by so many others, who knows what might have happened. And unfortunately, do we know the cheshbeinus of the Rabbeinu Shalom? You understand that yeshiva was slaughtered in the month of Av in 1929. Here it was, and it was a backwater town, Chevron. There had always been a Jewish community over there. Jewish community had been driven out a few times. Terrible, terrible. And here the Alter from Slabodka comes and brings the yeshiva there. And Bochum started coming from the United States of America and from England. In two words, I can describe to you the entire fundamental principle of the Musar of the Alter from Slabodka. It was all based Gadlus Ha'adam, the greatness of man. The Gadlus Ha'adam, the greatness of man. What he attempted and succeeded in transmitting to his students is that the human being has awesome potential. Every human being has the ability to achieve greatness. And so many of his sichot musariot were all about first man, Adam Arishon. There are a lot of gemaras and a lot of medrashim that talk about first man extending from one end of the world to the other, from earth all the way to heaven. These descriptions in the Gemara about the uniqueness of Adam Arishon are not talking about his physical prowess. What the Gemara is really talking about is the awesome potential of this human being. That God implanted within him the ability to rule a world, to achieve intellectual greatness. The fundamental principle, therefore, of his whole Shita Samusa was, you're great. Now all you have to do is live up to it. There was a complete opposite, at the opposite end of the spectrum, was Rabbi Yosef Yezel Horowitz of Navardik. The Navardik Shita of Musa was unbelievable. Extreme of all extremes. You're nothing. And not only you're nothing shebe nothing. And therefore, all of life is a struggle to overcome all of your desires, your yearnings, your longings. Everything is Torah. There is nothing else. His definition of bitachon was so extreme. Do nothing, and God will provide for you. By the way, he created a cadre of students that were absolutely fearless. It's unbelievable. The stories that are told about the Navardikas during the course of the First World War and after in the communist countries, they moved across borders nobody had papers, nobody had documents. Strange. They made it wherever they went. Nothing stood in their ways. Nothing. It was a certain fearlessness because one had to break every bad midah that they have. Fear, no fear of a human being. No such thing. Fear is only of God. Depend on anybody? We don't depend on anybody. We depend only on the Rabbeinu Shlomo. But there's no question about it. The whole Jewish world saw Navardik as being extreme, being very extreme, but highly successful. It of course depends on the student. You know, there are those who can thrive, and those of us who would be crushed. Slabodka, for example, impeccable dress. You're a great human being. You are created in the image of God. You have to take care of that image. You have to dress like... I remember when I first came to Chevron. Chevron then was in Geula. Rechov HaYeshiva number 10. So they told me that there's a bachur. This is 1955. There's a bachur in the yeshiva that has 40 white shirts. You understand? And it's 20 anivot. I didn't even remember how many Borsellino hats there were. And I came from America, I think, with two white shirts and two ties. I did not. It was all, by the way, it all came, this was a carryover, in a sense, from Volozhin, the mother of all yeshivas. In Volozhin, you had to be well-groomed. By the way, oh, that's a good question. Well, it must have been that there was one family in the yeshiva, there was one fella, one yeshiva bracha in all of Eretz Yisrael that had a car. And he learned in, I don't want to tell you the name of the family, you'll know exactly why. I didn't have the 40 shirts. I'm pointing that out because that was, you know, you had to be well-groomed and well-dressed. You're a Ben Torah, you represent something, you can't be a shlur. In Navardik, walk around with torn garments, walk around like a schlep, and don't be concerned about anybody laughing at you. The idea that you pay no attention to anybody, have a az kanamer, be strong, be powerful, makes a difference. I started saying that this idea of being well groomed started in Volozhin. And in Volozhin, there was a sefer recently that about 2-3 years ago that was banned, and there were some people that got an opportunity to read it before it was banned. It was a story of Gedolei Yisrael over the last 100 years. So I remember I had a banned copy and read through it, and I don't remember most of it. I just remember one. In Volozhin, it was required of every student to make sure that beard, well, either shave or have a well-trimmed beard. There was only one person in the whole yeshiva that didn't touch or trim his beard, and nobody wanted to say anything to him, and the name that they gave him in the yeshiva was Der Fomer. Der Fomer. Who was Der Fomer? Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Can you imagine 50 years later or 100 years later telling somebody that Rav Kook was Der Fomer? Der Fomer. By the way, one of the people that disagreed with the Alter from Slobodka's stress on the greatness of man was indeed Rav Kook. But Rav Kook anyway looked always, I mean, he was a habchas panim, unbelievably, you ever see the pictures of Rav Kook, Pashut, to look in his eyes in a picture is really an awesome, awesome experience. So I'm saying there were two movements in Musa. The Akavya bin Mahalalel, that was Navardik. You're a tipas chucha, you're going to a mokum offer lima v'toleya, get your act together. The other approach was the approach of Slobodka. You are made b'tzelem Elokim. You are bonim lamakom. You were given klei chemda, you were given Torah. You have within you all of the potential of achieving real greatness. Now go to it and achieve that greatness. And the next mission, of course, the most probably the peak of what Rabbi Akiva has to say. We're going to deal with the most unusual and outstanding quality of the human being, free will. Hakol tzafui, everything is seen by God, for a shut natura, but man has free will. Okay.